There you go again.
Don't fight me right now.
That's not right.
These are not bright people in our government.
Oh, go figure.
The nightmare begins.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Let's just hit it. AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here on the very actual Friday, 12th of April, 2024. Level, volume, headphone volume. Oh, there we go. Now we're good. And fully functional fill-in producer, two-footed Wyatt.
That's me, two-footed Wyatt here.
It's your three-footed Wyatt had a really good 2 a.m.
Yes, he had a solid 2 a.m. Two-footed Wyatt, though, we'll see how 6 a.m. goes.
Three-footed Wyatt may be at the beach this weekend.
He may three-footed Wyatt may be asleep all weekend, given how busy this week has gone.
Yeah, and you know when I say three-footed Wyatt, I mean my dog Wyatt.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So we're gonna we may try to get the elusive ghost shrimp for people that don't know, because I had a long talk about native diet. Really good friend of mine who's a Oklahoma Sioux, and we were talking about. Whatever it is, the killer moon, killers of the flower moon, or whatever it is. And because he's from Oklahoma, and we were just eye rolling and stuff. And so, anyway, we were talking about indig meat. And okay, well, what was the priority? Did you eat sturgeon before salmon? And no, when the salmon were coming up the river to you, you ate the salmon. Salmon was normal, it was very abnormal. For Lewis and Clark, for instance, especially because they were starving and all this. But sturgeon and the snake in Columbia River, sturgeon's all over the place. And where he grew up, sturgeon was, there's no salmons in the Oklahoma, such as, but there are plenty of sturgeon that migrate up your Mississippi River to your Missouri, to Missouri and all that. And he thought sturgeon was a real delicacy, which I think is okay. But Then we got around to the ghost shrimp. A lot of people don't know, but in the PN Dubs from Oregon up the Pacific coast of your state of Washington, such as in the intersurf zone, if you're at a sandy beach, which are kind of hard to find unless you get south of the Columbia, and then it's all Columbia sediment, there's these shrimp. And in the Puget Sound, in fact, if you know enough to dig for, if you've ever dug for clams and stuff, like with a clam gun, then you come up with that tube of sand, and then you find those little weird bugs. Those are shrimp. A ghost shrimp is just a shrimp that goes to you. It's like the girlfriend you don't deserve. Only you catch this one, and when you boil it or steam it, it becomes a shrimp again. And what do they taste like? They taste like shrimp. So anyway. If the dogs play their cards right, they might have delicious shrimp to snack on this weekend. But, boy, I'll tell you what. The thing about three-footed Wyatt is this dog has a bladder of iron. I'm proud of that. So proud of that boy. We went to bed around 6 o'clock last night, and when I closed out the news cycle, there was not a, come on, Snohomish County, stop kidnapping the girlfriends, okay? That's just a general rule of thumb. I shouldn't have to tell you that. If you need me to tell you that, this has been a week of me stating the obvious. Don't do the domestic violence. Don't kidnap your victim. Don't stare at the sun, okay? There, I'm fresh adolescent for the week. That's a big one. New music venue, but I'm so proud of this morning montage. I just want to get right to it. I will admit, it's a little lengthy, and it changed quite a bit because of the news that the first non-Japanese grandmaster of sumo, the American, born in the same hospital as me, Akebono, died at 54. And he was born a few years apart from me as Chad Rowan in Honolulu, Hawaii. But he's dead. And the scale of this guy's fame in Japan is really, really hard to measure. But anyway, I'm not going to, it's dumb to talk about the montage. Just play the damn montage, radio host.
Akebono!
Three different times, someone drove onto sidewalks and deliberately struck a homeless person.
My boss was saying that the people out here need to take more.
Then, on April 1st, Burbank was sworn in Thurston County, sparking outrage within his community.
two-bedroom apartment, $2,200. Who the f- can afford that?
Many of these kids are known to police.
The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office says that they were chasing a vehicle believed to have an adult kidnapping victim inside the car.
Police in Renton are looking for a teenage raft. Officers also recovered a fully loaded AK-47 pistol.
The Amber Alert went out and I looked at my phone and I saw that it was her.
He threatened to, quote, bring an assault rifle to campus and shoot all you pig Jews.
We are
Please
leaving.
Leave our house now!
You must acquit.
His cases jump-started my career, and yet he was a murderer.
I don't feel anything emotionally except for rage. 24/7, 365, at 1,000,000%.
I'm running to close the border, stop inflation, make our economy great, strengthen our military, and make the ACA, or Obamacare, as it's sometimes known, because it's much too expensive now, and it's not very good.
Leroy Dragons!
Oh my God, he just ran in.
Okay, honest question. I know that was a minute 46 of awesomeness. So Two-Legged Wyatt, is Leroy Jenkins a common known sort of, not a meme, but a common internet?
It's kind of an internet joke, yeah. So essentially they're...
I don't care. As long as someone gets, you know it.
Yes, I got it. I think a lot of people in my general demographic will get it too. It's a very common internet joke.
Real actual producer Greg, who's Dave Ross today, he gets, I ran that by him. I said, do people know that? Because I did that because of the ring announcer who was doing I forgot his name. Michael, what's his name, who does that one trademark phrase that I can't
Michael
say.
Michael Buffer's
super secret phrase. This is the equivalent. Let's get ready to Akebono, everybody. So anyway, dead at the age of 54, but really a national day of mourning in such as the Japan. This is from a ring announcement. I don't know who told him this would be a good idea, but he's at the sunset of his career. Huge guy, 6'8", 426 pounds when he won the sumo grandmaster title in Japan. 6'8". I mean, this is a Hawaiian that ate his tuna, and it was Chad Rowan. And so no tats on it. When he was active, no tats on the guy. Sumo is a combination of ritual in the same way that a practice swing, you know, is. You bow to the audience and the referees. You're judged as much on your respect for the sport and the ritual as the actual sport. And then at some point, you got to get in the ring and you got to push the other guy out. It's that simple. And so you add all this other stuff to it. And so he was phenomenal, beloved by kids and stuff. And you know, the analogies that they do, like, oh, he's like three Michael Jordans and Babe Ruth eaten by Tom Brady or something. I don't know. Those you really can't do that in a country with three distinct major sports and two minor professional major sports. You know, you go in a kid who a kid's room and there's maybe a Brady poster and maybe a name current beloved basketball guy, you know, or whatever. And now in Japan, you know what season it is all year long? Sumo season. So there's that. So that's what it was. Real big deal. And far more people will be far longer time about Akebono dying today in Japan than OJ frickin' Simpson. So there's that. I was pretty disgusted by my business yesterday. being able to say he was, even this morning I heard on MSNBC, went on trial and was acquitted of two murders as if there was some racist agenda. Like there's a real story there, but there's not. He's a bad guy. And so the one that disgusted me, the navel-gazing thing was, look, let's just admit, Court TV, do we all remember Court TV existed before OJ beheaded his wife and the barista? Okay. So they were waiting for this. They had the Menendez trial, which the first one was a mistrial. And then Ben Stiller mocked it perfectly in Cable Guy. And then they retried him and found him guilty the second time, the whole thing. And then the OJ murders happened because he killed his wife in the barista. And it goes on trial, and it was just nonstop. But you know what? All of you who remember that, you repaid them. You rewarded them. You made this. You the viewers, and me, we made this because it was fascinating. And there was an entire generation of national and local TV in LA who have weeks of memories. And the guy that kind of made me squirm the most was one of the guys participating in this wants me to feel, he wants to tell me, he felt the need, this is Dan Abrams, who founded Mediaite. He's on News Nation now and all this, and he was on MSNBC for the longest time. the OJ case made him. It made him. He was hired 2 years out of law school because it's court TV. You know what the Weather Channel hires? Actual meteorologists. And he had to go on and talk about how guilty he feels. And here, I'll let him do it.
And for me, it's actually an incredibly odd day because I covered OJ Simpson died today. And for me, it's actually an incredibly odd day because I covered every day of both his criminal and civil cases from inside the courtroom. There aren't many of us. The reality is his cases jump-started my career, and yet he was a murderer.
Boo! Say it. Who? Okay, there. I'll give you a space. Boo! Who? You're welcome. Okay, that's why you're driving a hybrid Bentley today. You know, who's he kidding? And it's so phony. But what's I think the most phony about it is that he felt the need for all of you to know that when he does get in his hybrid leather exterior Bentley, he has a single tear for Nicole and Ron go down his cheek because he was covering a murder. Well, what did you think the point of court TV was? This was the OJ trial. Wait, I gotta get that part again there.
Jump-started my career, and yet he was a murderer. That's sort of a troubling reality.
You know what? Well, when they started ESPN, it was all PKA karate. It was crap. And one of the early guys, Roy Firestone, who had a talk show, I talked to him once. I interviewed him once. And he said, of course, behind closed doors, we were saying, we got to get through this crap to get to a point where we're broadcasting a Super Bowl. And people who said that were laughed at. It's like, you start court TV, why? Well, because Florida began broadcasting trials, and people watched them. We didn't know what was going on. We thought it would be like Law and Order, but it wasn't. It was boring, and Your Honor, I'm going to, you know, whatever, and it's just motion, motion, motion. And then the Menendez trial goes on. The case was salacious, and they were so loathsome because they were twins and they killed their own parents for the money, for the classic reason. Court TV was making them celebrities, and somebody in court TV said, one day a celebrity will murder somebody, and we have to own that. And they were sitting around talking about it as if it was Yankees, Dodgers, Game 7, ninth inning, bases loaded, walk-off home run to win the World Series. That would be the best World Series ever, right? And so they're sitting around at MLB dreaming about that. That's what they were doing at Court TV. And they got it. And he became rich, and Court TV did great, copied several times. But, I mean, hearing this from some – I mean, I'm never in broadcasting. I'm never going to. I don't have any, you know, magic beans or anything. But I mean, this fell in his lap.
Jump started my career, and yet he was a murderer.
Oh God, dear God. You graduate from law school with a lot of debt. He's not defending anyone. He's hired. He's not. I think he was related to somebody, a traditional way of getting into broadcasting. And this fell in his lap. And he was, he tells the story about he was the only, they had other reporters that were on other things that were going on there. They were prioritizing that until, and he was out on the West Coast until OJ beheaded his wife. And they said, I'll put Abrams on there, that young guy. And I mean, so shame on you. Shame on my industry on that one. Otherwise, well, I'm not, I'll tell you what I'm not buying. I'm not buying this. Oh, by the way, is there really an attack, according to the Wall Street Journal, Iranian attack expected on Israel in next 2 days, exclusive. We'll get to that here in 2 minutes. Because I got about 2 minutes in me on this. But these are stunning numbers. But I'll tell you what the most stunning number is in just a second. See if you can figure
According
out.
According to the criminal complaint.
See if you can figure out what the most stunning number is.
From December 2021 until January 2024, Ms. Uhara placed 19,000 bets, averaging 25 a day with an illegal bookmaker. The wagers, which were never made on baseball, ranged from 10.
Yeah, okay.
And to $160,000, with ePay racking up more than $40 million in losses.
Whoa. So, two-legged Wyatt, what jumps out at you on that one?
That's,
$19 million in bets, $40 million in losses.
That is a lot of money you're losing. I wish I had a fraction of that just in my bank account right now.
So maybe I missed a number. Let's go back.
From December 2021 until January 2024, Ms. Uhara placed 19,000 bets, averaging 25 a day with an illegal bookmaker. The wagers, which were never made on baseball, ranged from $10,000 to $160,000, with ePay racking up more than $40 million in losses.
Okay, so yeah, he, according to this official story from this is just what they're charging him with. This is not exonerating Otani in any way, but so you're telling me, his most trusted guy in America, the guy that set up the bank account and still had access to it, pulls apparently $16 million out by imitating you on the phone. That's apparently when you're super wealthy, you just call the bank and go, yeah, can I get that in 20s, please? I want to sink my boat. Thank you. So he drops 19 mil in those bets that he heard. And so subtract 19 from, or 16. And so you're telling me that there's a bookie that was letting a translator float $24 million in debt? And by the way, this kind of gambling is illegal in California. But apparently the one bookie that skipped the day they teach you how to be a bookie in bookie school just lets a guy that makes about 90,000 bucks, just float on $24 million in debt. You know, I'm sorry, but, MGM, Mirage, there's not one casino corporation that would let you leave Clark County, Nevada, if you owed them $24 million, all right? If your name is not, if your title is not of Wales or of Edinburgh, they're not going to let you leave the county, the state, or the country if you owe them $24 million bucks. So, you know what? I want it to go away. I want Otani to be the guy that he is, and be this phenomenal baseball superstar. But I think he may have screwed himself out of that. On that one. So let me just give that to Leroy Jenkins on that. So I won't.
Leroy!
It's so overmodulated. That's what's that's the problem with it.
It's a video from 2006 or something like that.
And he's screaming into his headphones.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
This guy does it right.
Oh my God, he just ran in.
So there you go. Iranian attack expected on Israel in the next 2 days. Exclusive. Israel is preparing for a direct attack from Iran on southern or northern Israel as soon as Friday or Saturday, according to a person familiar with the matter. A person briefed by the Iranian leadership, however, said that while plans to attack are being discussed, no final decision has been made. This, first of all, the Israelis did a brilliant decapitation strike in Damascus on April Fools, and they dropped two JDAMs into the lap of the guy who is the lead Quds Force, a Revolutionary Guard Corps guy who's forward in Damascus coordinating the incoming supplies from Tehran with the various terrorist groups in either Syria or Iraq, and he's dead. And the problem with coordinating such an attack is that their entire infrastructure was wiped out, proving the effectiveness of a decapitation strike. That's why we started Operation Iraqi Freedom with a attempted decapitation strike. We, you know, in the end, it, you know, a year and a half later, Saddam was dangling from a rope. But anyway, decapitation strikes, they work. But Iran examines this stuff very carefully. They're not going to do what the Wall Street Journal's so-called exclusive is. This is a plant by the U.S. intelligence community so that Iran reads the Wall Street Journal and says, well, this isn't that idiot Washington Post. These guys are credible. It's an exclusive. Our deception is working. They really honestly think that we're going to strike them. We're going to strike them, not a proxy, from our home soil. But that's not how Iran strikes back at a Israeli strike from an Israeli airfield into another country, an Iranian consulate on someone else's soil. So that it's not the same. And the Iranians are very good at bracketing this stuff, at calculating it. So back in a second, I'll explain more, and we'll do a check-in with your texting, 800-465-8770. Back in a second, AM 770, KATTH.
Oh, my God, he just ran in.
KTTH. Brian Suits here. So just to wrap this up about some Iran talk and this weekend, the money and the surveillance in the air that's publicly available that you can see is on Syria. So if Iran does a strike, because keep in mind, the Israeli Air Force killed a Iranian general and his leg humpers in their consulate in Damascus, in Syria, not in Iran. So it's not from Israeli soil into Iran. So the Iranians have been spending the week with a pretty clumsy deception operation, making sure the telegram shows trucks and trucks and trucks of Iranian missiles going to their traditional test launching area in the southern part of Iran, which is virtually unpopulated. And so this stuff has gotten pushed by Iranian bots. And so it looks like and they're doing it in the daytime. So it's that clumsy that you wouldn't really do that in your own country. And so for that reason, no, the Israelis are not, we'll say Israel is not preparing for a direct attack from Iran, because the Iranians know that would be a quick ticket to very large prepared plans that the Israeli Air Force has to eliminate, kinetically, directly eliminate their nuclear program, because they're about to announce that they've succeeded. And the Israelis, the conventional wisdom in Israeli intelligence, the Israeli military, is that it's just a matter of time before Iran announces that they're a nuclear power and not like Kim Jong-un, not after your first successful explosion, because that was a gamble that Bush wouldn't bomb North Korea after the first test. And then North Korea had a couple of years to make 10 warheads. So they did. So Iran has said, well, since we know it'll work, let's go ahead and make an arsenal. And then when it's time to announce it by a test, by that we are nuclear power, let's have 10 of them. Let's have 10 on missiles ready to go, because that just makes sense. You know, because I take you back to late July 1945, Oppenheimer didn't get on the phone to Reuters or AP or CBS radio and say, look, we have a thing. It's a magic bomb. It's huge. It's going to change the war. And now we don't need to invade Japan. Right? No, it wasn't like that. It is crazy. How do you hide a nuclear test with a mushroom and all? Well, do it in New Mexico and clear out the civilians. And besides, what are you going to say? Yeah, there was a thing. What kind of thing? It was loud. It was loud. There was a rumble. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was bright, too. A big flashy thing north over there. Really? Well, I happen to be a German spy. Can, do you mind if I pass it on to Berlin? Yeah, thing loud rumbly over there. So, okay, the first one kept its own secret, all right? So the Iranians have a big announcement, and it may be this year, maybe next year or whatever, but they do calculate this stuff. That's why, by the way, they learned this in 1980. They overran an embassy, not a consulate, an embassy, and they knew what they had done. They certainly learned that there was more trouble over it than a little bit, and that Reagan grabbed hundreds of millions of their money and sat on it. And at the end of the day, it became attached in the U.S. Federal Reserve because the hostages sued the Iranian government successfully and all that. Anyway, they know what they're doing. They know what's been done to them. That, because it went like this. The Iranian embassy is the really big building to the north, and the Canadian embassy is the really big building to the south. In the middle is a separate property, and that's the consulate. And so diplomatically, if you're on the soil of an embassy and your Marines are shot, that's an attack on sovereign American territory. If you have a baby at the U.S. embassy, that's an American citizen. That's American soil. I mean, the Supreme Court had to go through this about McCain, because John McCain was born in the Panama Canal Zone, which was treated internationally as sovereign American soil back then. Thanks, Carter. But they ruled that, yeah, he was born a U.S. citizen, as if he was born on at an embassy or something. So the Iranians know this chapter and verse. And so they're not very likely to want to include the United States in anything. And so the deterrence from launching from Iran is huge. Plus, they know that the Saudis are as excited for nuclear Iran as Israel is. And that, yes, they would be using Saudi airfields and the whole thing. And that Iran doesn't have a hope. So anyway, time for a checking of the texting or a playing of the Leroy Jenkins. I did turn it down a bit here. So do you think even my 15-year-old knows this?
Leroy Jenkins!
So I'm just going to say that some of you, if you know, you know. So there's that. So play the super secret expensive checking the texting thing. Or else I'll get three-legged Wyatt in here. If I rub bacon on it, he would.
Yeah, he would be on top of it.
Yeah, our new thing is duck jerky.
That's not okay.
Man, I got to tell you, whatever they put in that, I assume there's some duck in there. But they know their job at 2 a.m. and their job is to go out and make, then come in and eat the duck jerky. Okay, so I was challenged and we have an answer. So, a few days ago it was B, what's up with the Thurston County Sheriff? He hires a great certified police officer and can't stand the heat. The losers get their way again, and the greatest county is not so great. And what he's talking about is one of the Tacoma PD guys who resigned after being acquitted in the death of Manny Ellis. And we know what happens. Officers follow ROE, and people die. People in custody die. Oftentimes people with drugs in their system die. Or people with a bunch of fentanyl to kill a cow die in Minneapolis, and you spark protest. Now, the Manny Ellis thing literally happened before George Floyd, but it was not nearly as inflammatory, because the officers were found not to be, and there were paramedics involved as well. Anyway, the death of Manny Ellis was found not to be the fault of the three officers. So their future is cloudy at best at Tacoma PD. So they go the separate ways, and Officer Burbank laterals into Thurston County Sheriff's Department because he's experienced. He's already got his state commission. He's already paid for. He's certified. And that costs money. This is like one of the number one things that is holding back recruiting for Seattle, is that they're unwilling to pay the money, because when you are recruiting new cops, number one, you're looking for someone with a clean skin meaning no sheet, no drugs at over the age of 18, no crap, no DV, no nothing, no credit problems. You need them as clean as possible. You can bend the rules, but you might be letting a crooked cop in. Then they get in. They have no prior police experience. So you send them to the academy. Then they graduate the academy. They're certified. And then if you can beat off Everett and Kent and Renton, because they will try to poach your cops, then maybe they make it to their field training in Seattle or Thurston County. And Thurston County has a shortage of deputies. No shortage of armed citizens, I can tell you that. But they get a guy with experience locally on the street, and you say yes to him. And then, because he's going to have people in Western Washington chasing him all over the place, they come down to a open mic or whatever they did there in Olympia. And somebody, for some reason, the officer that was just hired, just sworn in, resigns abruptly. So he's gone after open mics and stuff like that.
His death is something the community says they will never forget.
So they're saying that the some of the family of Manny Ellis, I don't know what made him suddenly move to Thurston County, but
Sanders to resign. Others are asking him to be more transparent about who is going to be policing their neighborhoods.
Your decision to hire Christopher Burbank without any prior thought is a disgusting thing.
Politically, was it a smart hire? Did you think it wouldn't chase him down I-5? I think that's a bit naive to think that in this day and age, people who can get in front of an open mic would let that just go away.
Questioning Thurston County Sheriff Derek Sanders' hiring of Christopher Burbank. He's one of three former Tacoma officers who was charged in the death of Manny Ellis in 2020. In December, the three were cleared of any wrongdoing. Then, on April 1st, Burbank was sworn in Thurston County, sparking outrage within his community.
There are people in this room who...
You mean Tacoma? Because it didn't... I'll tell you this. I'm half a mile inside of Thurston County. My community wasn't outraged. It was, he got an experienced guy.
I'll never vote for you again.
It doesn't hurt my feelings that people may not vote for you.
So anyway, I think that it could have been a seminal moment for a new sheriff, that you could have shown that you'll stand by your decision, you'll back a guy. You have deputies saying we need more deputies and we don't need kids. We don't need to train them. We need guys locally that will lateral in. So you either raise the salary, which Thurston County is not made of money. But the process is expensive, as Seattle is finding out. And the process of not doing it, as Seattle has found out, of not having cops on the streets, is expensive, as Tacoma is going to find out. But anyway, you heard, you know, they were cleared. They were exonerated. If you hire a guy that's been exonerated and then you're not willing to defend that, then it's not good for the morale of your troops. And I might hear about that later on today. I mean, back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. KTTH. I didn't know this, but Dallas skyscrapers at night are going dark because birds fly into. I knew birds flew into windows and all that, but foggy Thursday morning when Animal Services Supervisor Josh Henderson received news of a mass mortality on May 4, 2017, 395 migratory birds, including an African swallow, died after smashing into one office tower in Galveston, Texas. So that would be a pile of bird. That's coyote heaven there. So the animal services guy rushed to the scene to witness the gruesome spectrum of feathers from yellow and orange to blue and gray of the small, lifeless, small-featured bodies. So they just came up with, that's what I don't get. How's that going to help on a foggy day? Didn't they run into it because they couldn't see it? So don't you want to leave the lights on?
You would think you'd want to leave the lights on.
Or make or the thing they do to keep birds away, if you ever go to your IKEA in Renton or any IKEA. You get in your car, off you go to IKEA, get out, shut the door, and then you hear those piercing screeches. Those are predatory birds. And no bird in his right mind would say, I think I'll go hang out near a red-tailed hawk, even though it might dine on me or whatever. So just do that. Just have little thingies. And I was looking on Instagram for a picture I took of on a sunny day with the sun going down into a mirrored window. There was a reflection. There was a dusty fingerprint of a hawk that flew into the window, and I assume it died. But I mean, literally, you can see the beak, the wings out, the feet, and everything. It's just that I can say that all day long, but if I can't prove it, if I can't trade the receipts, it's no good. I say anyway. A possibly a very kinetic weekend, depending on what the Iranians decide to do, or the Israelis decide to rise and kill first, as they've shown with the Torah behind them doing that, like the Torah says to do. Okay, so I kind of thought this would be a bigger story. You know the story about the guy in the SUV driving up and down Seattle sidewalks, running over homeless tents, and then coming back and shooting? Remember that story?
Yeah, I do remember that.
When? What the hell? That's right up my alley. I never heard about this until last night. And then also, by the way, on 525 over by Alderwood Mall, it was closed last night because it was the wrong way. There was a DV with the kidnapped victim in the car, the kidnapper behind the wheel, and it led to a wrong way accident. So it was closed between Alderwood Mall and 99, you know, which becomes your Mukilteo Speedway. And so many ferry passengers probably disappointed there, but this I did not hear about. And evidently, if the news writer wrote this correctly, the person is still on the loose because they know to just floor it. And Seattle police, Washington State police, will stop the pursuit.
Street cameras captured the moment this situation took an especially dangerous turn. It started when cops pulled over this SUV after they say the driver deliberately ran over nearby homeless tents. Yet, as you see, the driver had no intention of giving up. Without warning, they take off into the downtown corridor, leading to a high-stakes, high-speed...
Without warning, like you're going to roll the window down. Hey, get back in your Explorer, Mr. Oinker, because I'm taking off, and not only are the speeds going to be high, but the stakes are going to be high. Beep.
Town corridor leading to a high stakes, high speed chase. Police tell Como they ended this pursuit when they learned nobody had been hurt. Yet later on, another emergency in this area,
which doesn't make sense. So anyway, the guy's going high speed, and they peel it off because the guy yelled Leroy Jenkins out the window or whatever. So he's out. They don't have him. Will he strike again? Because it sounds like a pretty specific crime.
Area callers reported that the driver in a car just like this one showed up to the tents that were run over earlier in the night. That driver then fired several gunshots. This case coming only a month and a half after a series of targeted attacks against Seattle's homeless population. As Como
now, that's the one. Maybe is that what you're thinking of? Because maybe I kind of remember that.
I guess that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Because I would be looking for a pattern for it to happen again, and so...
Reported in February, three different times, someone drove onto sidewalks and deliberately struck a homeless person.
That sounds darn similar. That sounds like a pattern right there. Once is coincidence, twice is happenstance. Three times driving your silver Ford Explorer up on the sidewalk on 3rd Avenue, running over tents. That's enemy contact on that one, so...
That driver then fired several gunshots.
And then a warning... Be real discriminatory about who you put on camera, because many of those people are intense because they're gigantic drug addicts. So who did you choose, Channel 4?
This case coming only a month and a half after a series of targeted attacks against Seattle's homeless population. As Como reported in February, three different times, someone drove onto sidewalks and deliberately struck a homeless person. At the time, those living on the streets told us they were worried they could be next.
My personal safety, the people out here need to take more.
I'm sorry. How did you get that?
I didn't understand a word he said.
Frankly, Channel 4, I'm worried I could be next.
The streets told us they were worried they could be next.
My personal safety, the people out here need to take more. My gut feeling was hoping that people could get hurt.
Those cases remain unsolved.
Okay, that's I would entitle that. I would name that person Leroy Jenkins.
Right. Noted. I'm putting it in notes right now.
Yeah. So we went to a street resident Leroy Jenkins.
My gut feeling was hoping that people would get hurt.
Those cases remain.
And you know what? I'd throw him a piece of advice. Don't stare at the sun. Don't do the other thing that I was talking about. And then don't live in a tent on a sidewalk in a state where the police can't chase and stop the person who does it.
Ain't unsolved, all as police investigate this latest possible homeless-centered attack.
And talking about the cases in February and if they're related to the one that we saw yesterday, police still do not know. That's why they're asking for information. If you know anything, give.
Captain Obvious, your promotion ceremony to major will be later today at noon. But anyway, I don't know. What a mystery. Who would do that? Is it ethical to print something for offline reading at the office if it is not work related?
Maybe.
I don't think it is. We all know don't steal copy or paper. My challenge is if the second I make it on air content, then I'm justified in.
I feel like the second it's on air content, it's fair game.
Dude, look at it. 54 pages.
That's like a manuscript.
I know. Killing a Peacock, a case study of the targeted killing of Admiral Isoroku Yamamoto. A monograph by Major Adonis Arvanitakis, U.S. Air Force. Anyway, there you go. I can turn that into on-air content because what the Israelis did, the targeted killing of the Quds Force guy in Damascus, and that the Iranians feel the need to strike back at them, fiery strike back. It's a principle that, believe it or not, in 1943, there were people, when we intercepted Japanese radio messages, there was a debate. And the radio message was a precise date, time, and destination for the Grand Admiral, Commander-in-Chief of the Imperial Japanese Navy, Admiral Isoroku Yamamoto. He was coming to the island of Rabaul for an inspection. He will be here at this time. And that's what you do. You tell the downrange guys, you know, hey, the big guy's coming. This is the mastermind of Pearl Harbor, a certified genius. If you had only one bullet to kill one Japanese Imperial Japanese guy in uniform of World War II, that would be the guy. Now you have a message saying we have intercepted and decoded this message. What do you do with it? There were people, including Admiral Halsey, who thought it was dishonorable to assassinate the guy. And then there were other smarter ones who said, of course you assassinate the guy. Our problem is not making it look like we decoded his travel plans, his itinerary. And so we came up with a very clever way of doing it, by just doing it, making it look like a random patrol jumped on the Pearl Harbor mastermind. And they probably yelled the 1943 equivalent, which is, take that for Pearl Harbor, Yamamoto, Leroy Jenkins, or whatever. But anyway, there really is a study that, there you go. It's a fascinating story this week, because that's what the Israelis just did. And the effect on the Japanese was it held up a whole lot of plans that were in his gigantic noggin. And for the Iranians who know that their attack on Israel, the retaliation has to come from Syrian soil, well, that's the guy that the Israelis just killed. He was the goat. He was our man in Damascus. And his number two in command, his good, solid number two, he was next to him in the same collapsed building. And then all the local Hezbollah guys and Hamas guys that were also the liaisons. Same building, same bomb. And so that's why in Iran they were saying, Jay, damn it. Jay, damn you, Israel. Back in a second with, DV outbreak in Somers County into a fatality accident. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.